Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey everyone, and welcome to what surprisingly enough is episode 17 of the CAS, the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. My name is Mark Stevenson.
And I'm Mark Vila, and today we're here to talk about knowing your numbers.
How much is a customer worth and why all that matters? So tell me what that means to you, Mark Vila.
Okay.
When I say know your numbers, if you're an apparel decorator or in any business, what are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about, to paraphrase real quick, you specifically said how much is a customer worth.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start saying that. Okay. How much is a customer worth? So what does that mean? When you get a new customer or you have an existing customer, how much revenue and how much profit are they worth to you in the short term and the long term?
Right. It's the over time thing that really gets me, because most people will take a look at an individual order and not realize or not think about what's going to happen down the line. So, for example, most of you probably know that are listening to this, I'm the director of marketing for Coldesi, and we sell apparel decorating equipment, but not just one kind. So we sell direct-to-garment printers and embroidery machines and rhinestone machines, and a large chunk of our customers, of the machines that we sell every month, are from customers that own a different technology.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody buys an embroidery machine and they come back when they're ready to do printing and they buy a DTG printer and then eventually they add a rhinestone machine or a pro spangle. So we assign a very high value to that initial customer, and it's one of the reasons, other than the goodness of our hearts, that we treat people so well, is because there's a value to that.
Yeah, and it's very similar to how most any industry works. When they think about bringing you either into a store, whether it's a retail store because they're bringing you in for a sale. So they might put Coca-Cola on sale at a price that they lose money on.
Right.
However, they know that every time somebody walks into that store, they've got a value of this. And every time somebody's a loyal customer, they've got a value of that over time.
And
so
that's a great example. I mean, if I go into a 7-Eleven for an 80-cent Big Gulp sale, I'm going to spend $3 or $4 on candy bars or on something else. So they know that their average customer value or my customer value is $4 a visit. So they can afford to give away 50 cents worth of soda.
Yeah, and they also know that there's all these other things that are going to build up, meaning that you are going to possibly become loyal to buying gas from there.
Right.
Because when you stop for gas, it's time to get a Diet Coke too.
Right.
And then while I'm in there, I'm getting this. So you build this whole value for your customers on what they're worth to you, and then you use that value to make lots of decisions.
Yeah, you run your whole business basically on.
Yeah.
I mean, you decide when it's time to buy new equipment. You decide what it'll be worth to add technology to your business, or how much to spend on advertising.
And, yeah,
and that's going to be the topic of a future podcast. So right now, though, I think everybody's got a pretty good idea of what it is. How do you figure that?
Okay, so that's what we need to do. So we've broken it down into basically three parts.
We've got a formula.
A formula.
If we had a whiteboard now, I'd stick my hair up, I'd put on a lab coat, and I'd be standing in front of the whiteboard.
Yeah, and you would look sharp.
I would. I always do.
But we talked about, we've got three things that we want to calculate. So the first one to get into is the initial value.
Right.
So when you get that customer, they're going to place an order with you today, and it's going to be worth a specific dollar amount in revenue. So it's going to be, this order is a $500 order.
Right, and that's what revenue is, by the way, folks. It's the sales numbers. They're going to write you a check, or you're going to ring something up on your credit card, or they're going to hand you five crumpled up, suspicious $100 bills. And that's the revenue or the sales.
They're moist.
That's the that's the initial value. Thanks.
Moist dollar bills.
They're
in the pocket.
That's the initial value.
So that's the initial value, and then also you factor in that value how much profit you made from that transaction.
And each one of those are important numbers. Yeah. You've got to, you know, when you go in, if you ever go in for a bank loan, you know, they're going to ask you, what are your sales and what are your profits and what are your costs? And that's the next thing. So, you know, you've got to know the sales value or the initial value. You've got to know, you know, what percentage of that is going to be overhead for cost. What percentage is going to be labor? What percentage is going to be supply? So you actually have to have a good profit number for the job.
Yeah, and do your best on taking some time to back up and look at that profit number. Because don't just do the cost of my shirt and the cost of the ink.
Huge mistake.
Yeah. Yeah. Look into other things. What other costs could be involved in this? You know, take your electric bill and divide it up amongst, say, each day, and if it's going to take...
How many hours it's going to take.
So if you have $8 a day in electricity, and this is going to take half of a day, you have about $4 in electricity.
A percentage of your rent goes into overhead, definitely. And don't skimp on labor. I mean, do an actual labor cost. Even if it's you, even if you're a one-person shop, then you've still got to assign some kind of value to your time.
Yeah, and when you do all of that, which, you know, we could have a whole podcast on just doing that formula.
And we will. I have a feeling we will.
But in that, just consider, you know, really consider how much am I really making off of this transaction. Now I've got a value for this. However, it doesn't end there. The value of that customer doesn't end there because they probably will come back for more.
It's not the only... Very few people will order a custom t-shirt or an embroidery job or direct garment print or anything just once. You know, like they're only ever going to have one family reunion or one church picnic, or they're only going to hire three people for their plumbing company, and they will never hire anyone else, and those people will never need new shirts.
Yeah.
that's just not going to happen.
Yeah, and now there's a difference between not having a repeat customer, because everyone has a customer that buys once and you never hear from them again.
Right.
But, you know, that goes back to a lot of other podcasts we've talked
about. Yeah, customer experience matters, and the sales techniques, and the not wasting money on marketing because you're keeping track of your customers.
So. Yeah. Yeah, so exactly. So with that, we've got how much they're going to spend now, and then we've got a frequency number. So let's say that the frequency number, we could say plumbers, you mentioned. Yes. So their employees might go through two sets of shirts a year.
Let's say there's five guys.
There's five guys. They have five shirts apiece, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, they've got five polos that they wear apiece, Monday through Friday polos.
Right.
And so now it's 25 shirts every time that they need to place an order.
Right.
And they're replacing those maybe twice a year.
Right. So that customer now is going to buy 50 shirts.
They're going to buy 50 shirts plus anything else they might buy in between. But if we put that value on them, they're saying every year they're good for 50 shirts.
Right.
Or whatever that value might be in your profit or your revenue. So let's just say, let me do some quick math. 50 times, let's say they're $25 a shirt. They buy particularly nice polo shirts. That customer's worth $1,250 a year.
Right. So as you can see, like we went up. You know, at first it was just a small order. You know, we're going to do 25 shirts. But now we've assigned a real value to what this could mean for your business.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about, there's a third factor to consider in this customer now.
Right. And that's how long are you going to keep them? It's the longevity of the customer. So right now we've got Joe's Plumbing Shop. I like Joe. He does a lot of different things for me. And he's buying 50 polo shirts a year. How long has he been in business? And how long do you think you can keep him as a customer? You know, so for example, if you think you can hold on to a customer for 3 years, which seems a reasonable number for me, I don't know why, but it just seems like if you don't have any history, you know, if you're already in the business and you know how long a customer that you take care of lasts. You know, maybe it's 18 months, maybe it's 3 years, maybe it's 10 years.
Yeah.
Then you can figure out what the value of that customer is in longevity.
So if we say that the plumbing company we're working with, if we're going to be able to keep them for 3 years as a number, you know, if we want to go with a conservative number, so if we times that number times three, now getting this one order from this plumbing company has got a value, a lifetime value of $3,750.
Wow. So, and again, that does a couple of things. First of all, that's a big difference. I mean, you know, you're gonna do your profit numbers and figure out what percentage of, let's say, you know, it's 50% profit or something along those lines. Then you're at $1,600, $1,800. But you can see you now have a clearer idea of what getting a customer and keeping a customer is worth to your business. I mean, this is the power of how much is a customer worth. It's not a single, you're not pricing out or talking to somebody about a single 25-piece order. Now you're talking about planning the next 3 years of your business by taking care of this customer, and you'll be able to see revenues accelerate over time.
And we've got to think about this when we're doing marketing, when we're doing sales, when we're spending time to get new customers. This is the number that's important to think about. So, like at Coleman and Company, we sell the patch kit, which is one of our most popular products.
And it's a great product, by the way.
It's a great product. It's cool. If you want to do custom patches, I'm going to plug it. Check out one of the webinars.
Yeah.
Because it's really cool. It's easy to do. But the reason why I bring that up is a small patch kit, the smallest one that we sell, which is kind of the bare minimum you need to get started, it's about $50. It's no big deal. It's not a ridiculous amount. If we make a mistake on shipping an order, it costs more than $50 to fix it.
True.
But we know that if somebody gets into patches and we teach them how to do it correctly and they spend that $50 on that initial kit and they're successful with it, they're going to come back and buy more patch material and more patch kits, and the value of them increases over time.
Absolutely.
So it's worth it to spend the time and go out there and find people who need to make patches so we could teach them how to do it and make it right. And it's not just thinking about, well, is this worth it for a $50 sale?
Right.
Is it worth it for hundreds of dollars over hundreds of customers over years?
And the patch kit is a great example, because we've done 24 videos over the years on the patch kit.
Mm-hmm.
We do live webinars. We do all of this stuff that basically supports a $50 product.
Yeah.
So it's not the initial sale value that makes a difference. It's because Coleman and Company looks at, okay, somebody that uses the patch kit will create patches as long as they're in business. You know, so let's say that's 4 or 5 years. Now that total value calculation is the initial $50, the supplies, and times the longevity of that customer. Now you can see why there's a 1-hour webinar.
Yeah. And that's what we need to, all of us, as anybody who runs a business, owns a business, or handles marketing or sales for a business, needs to factor in on our time.
Right.
We need to figure out, what are we spending time on? What's the lifetime value of that whole thing? So we talked about the Tripping Over Pennies podcast.
Right.
And if you haven't listened to that one, you have to. Because coming from a supply the supply world.
Yes.
I think about that all the time, because we have people like tripping over pennies, you know, looking at all these little things that
they're
matter.
They're trying to save 20 cents on a cone of thread when they could be using that same time. Now that you know the value of a single customer, why in the world would you waste 30 minutes trying to save 20 cents on a cone of thread? Once you have this number, it will really inform the rest of the decisions for your business.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's so much more to it. And then there's another factor.
The R factor. I'm going to take credit.
You came up with the name.
We were talking about, okay, how do you allow for referrals? Because there are different kinds of people, and I'm going to let Mr. Vila talk about that in just a minute. But what is the value of word of mouth, you know, for having that customer? How likely are they to spread? You know, that's the referral factor that you can use as a multiplier for this business.
And what are the chances that plumbing company that you've gotten a business from, that the owner of that company, he probably has to refer somebody else for other pieces of his business, right? If you've had plumbing work done in your house, they rip open the walls.
Right.
And then they leave the hole there and they say, we don't do that.
Right.
But I know a guy.
Right.
So He always knows a guy that does the different things, that fixes the floors and fixes the walls and does the electrical work and all of these things. So he's already connected to other people. And what are the chances that he's going to say, oh, by the way, Mary did these shirts for me. They look awesome. I've been ordering them twice a year for the past 3 years. And 100% of the time, I just have a great experience working with her, and and all that.
And that, and that's a good example, because that, that's kind of a personality judgment on your part. I mean, the plumbers that I talk to, they would never talk like that. You know, they just wouldn't think of it. They wouldn't think of talking like that. It's just a shirt, they're just going to wear it. But there are other circumstances where someone, so you might say, okay, this plumber, he talked to me the entire time I was there, and I know that if I ask him to mention me to these other vendors, that he actually will refer me business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or you go into the plumbing shop and the guy doesn't say three words to you, he just wants to order the shirts and for you to leave or to get off the phone, then he's likely that way with everyone else that he talks to. You know, so you might want to assign a lesser value to his potential referrals.
So in regards to a couple numbers, then we'll talk about how to factor that.
Sure.
So what are a few numbers that you would use in this calculation? So you said $37.50 is the value of this one customer that we're talking about. What's the math on the R factor?
The math on the R factor that we kind of kicked around some ideas on is to assign a percentage value to a customer. So if you've got somebody that is projected to spend $37.50, and you know that they're kind of, and get your thesaurus out, they're kind of taciturn.
Okay.
You know, they don't really have that bubbly personality. They don't run into a lot of people. Maybe there is no referral factor because you think they'll never talk about you. But on the other hand, let's say that they're, you know, there's a possibility they know some people. You ask them to, you know, do a referral. So maybe they're a 0.2.
Okay.
You know, and what that means is I'm going to assign a potential value of 0.2 of whatever my sale is, or whatever my long-term value of the customer is.
So I would say $37.50.
Right, that's the total value of a customer.
Times 0.2 is $750.
Right. Okay, so that's a pretty big number. So what you're saying is that if you get this customer in and you treat them right, that there's a relatively small chance, a 0.2 chance, I would say, mm-hmm. of them referring you to somebody else and getting that business.
That's going to bring you another $750.
That's our estimate.
So then you've got $750 plus the $37.50, and we say that now this customer that we've gained is worth about $4,500.
Right. Yeah, that's because that's the initial value of the sale, which we talked about, is $1,250.
Mm-hmm.
The frequency, which is twice a year, the longevity, which is 3 years.
Yeah, 3 years.
Equals the total value of $37.50, and then we're kicking in the R factor, which is 0.2. of that total value. And that's kind of a personal judgment on your part. How active do you think they would be in referrals? And also you have to look inward a little bit and saying, do you suck at customer service?
Yeah.
because, I mean, look, I love all of you guys, but there are some of you that just, you know, you really just want to print a shirt and hand it to somebody and get paid.
Yeah.
You know, your R value on everybody is going to be low. You know, it's going to be lower than somebody that really, like, takes joy in that customer experience and wants to deliver the shirts and wants to talk to people about their business. Then, you know, your average R value is going to be higher.
Well, the reason why the R value is so important is because in the apparel decorating industry is a lot like some other industries. It's heavily weighed on referral business.
It's all word of mouth.
Yeah. I mean, plumbers are similar since we mentioned that. Web developers might be in a similar situation. You know, there's a lot of industries. You don't see a lot of giant billboards that says, call me for a custom t-shirt.
Right. That's true.
You don't see that as often. That's for other things. You see giant billboards for, you see it for emergency rooms, by the way.
Weird. I don't know why.
You know, you see giant billboards for maybe for a jewelry store. They need to get people who are about to be engaged to be married to come in.
Right now.
It's not a lot of referral business of where did you get it necessarily.
And that also plays on some of our earlier podcasts where the vast majority of the people listening to this podcast don't have a website.
Mm-hmm.
Or don't have a good website. So they're relying on, all of you out there are relying on word of mouth or those personal connections that you make and that your customers make to drive your business.
So we have to factor in the referral value of every customer. And I think that it should be from zero, meaning that they're a band from out of the country and they forgot to get their shirts
Right.
They forgot to ship their shirts, and they need shirts for tonight, and then they're going back to Austria.
And it's in Cyrillic for some reason. Yeah, nobody knows
why.
And
they are never coming back to the U.S. They told you that.
Right.
So you know for sure this customer is worth zero R factor.
And the frequency is going to be one. You know, that's it. They're never coming back.
So you have to make sure that the value of that initial sale is high.
Right.
You're not going to do this to make $5 profit.
Correct.
And then we've got the other factor where this is a local church. And they said, we had a guy. He moved. We need a new guy. Hopefully it's you. We order shirts every single month.
Yes.
And by the way, like, all of our members are always looking for different things, you know, and we just need somebody who's reliable.
And we'll talk about it.
And we'll talk about it. So that's got a high.
Yeah, because a couple of things. They like you. They say, they tell you that they're going to tell other people.
Mm-hmm.
You talk to them about telling other people, and there's a reasonable chance that they will be able to tell other people.
So that one would be, and that's that last sentence,
yeah,
is there's a reasonable chance they'll be able to tell other people. Not just that they will, but they're a community organization. They get together often on a regular basis. People ask for referrals for all different types of things when they go there because it's a trusted community.
Yes.
So the numbers I think that are good are either a 0, the band from Austria.
Yes.
Or a 0.5.
Yeah, I like that.
Which would be the church that told you that they are going to tell other people and they consistently refer business.
Agreed. And that's really important. And we're going to talk about how you might figure that out if you're a newbie. You know, what a couple of questions that you can ask to get a jump start on the total value, especially the R factor calculation. But you had talked to me about, and we've talked about him in a previous podcast as well, Spaghetti Sauce and Apparel Decorating. Malcolm Gladwell's Tipping Point, and the book that he did, and the kinds of people that you should be looking for.
Yeah, so he wrote a book called The Tipping Point, which...
it's an awesome book.
Yes, one of the first sociology/business books I'd probably ever read.
Yeah.
You know, it might have been the first, actually. I mean, when I was really found that interesting. But he talks about three types of people, and when you run into these three types of people, especially for the R factor... This customer is going to be particularly valuable for you on the referral side.
Right.
And the three types of people he talks about are one is connectors, okay? So connectors are people, they just seem to know everybody.
Yeah, and connector, you have a connector in your life, I guarantee you, because it's going to be like, I need a body shop for my 1957 Cadillac. Who would you talk to if you needed that guy?
Yeah, and I think the connector even, if I'm remembering correctly from the book, he talks about like sitting next to somebody on a plane where you're having a conversation with them, and no matter what you bring up, they know somebody who does it.
Right.
Or they know somebody who's been there.
And by the end of the flight, they know you too. You'll be their best friend by the end of the flight. You'll have exchanged business cards, and if you're in sales, that is the guy to know.
So they are the people who link the world together.
Yeah.
They link the world together because they just know a vast amount of people, and they're connected.
That's the guy that if you tell him that, you know, or if you make a shirt for him, or that you tell him you're in the custom t-shirt business, the next people that he talks to that's having a conversation for the rest of his life about apparel or custom apparel or charity work or church work, they're going to say, you know, I know this great guy I met this guy on a plane. He seems awesome. And I happen to have his card right here.
Yeah. You know, I always happen to have.
Yeah, that's the guy.
So that's the connector. Now that kind of leads into the next one, which is the salesman. Okay. The salesman, right. These are the types of people that they want you to buy your car from the dealership that they bought it from.
Yeah, they get some kind of a pleasure from, like, oh yeah, I sent him there and he got what I got.
Yeah, they just have like this indefinable trait that they just want to tell you about it, why it's great, why you should go there, why you should buy this t-shirt or this hat from this guy or from this woman who runs a shop.
It's almost like the people that, you know how for some reason you always get into conversations about directions? You know, if we had to go from our office to the University of South Florida and we asked three people, not only would you get three different answers, but they would somehow develop a vested interest in you choosing the route that they recommended.
Yeah. And
there's
going to be
kind of thing.
Yeah, there's going to be maybe if you ask five people, there might be two or three that give you directions and walk away.
Yes.
But there's might be one or two who really want you to take their route.
Right.
Okay? That's the salesperson.
And that's a great test.
Yeah, that's a great test. So if they're a salesperson, they're going to have a higher R value. If you can tell this person is going to try to sell other people to go see you,
yes,
high R value. So we've got the connectors because they know everybody.
The salesman.
And they tell everybody. We've got the salesman. And then we've got the mavens. Okay, the mavens are the information connectors. They are the information specialists. They know everything about the marketplace, where to buy it. They're going to be able to, they're going to be the people that say, if you want embroidered hats, you want to go see Josephine.
Right.
But do not order t-shirts because she does it this way. You want to order t-shirts from here.
And they know everything. And they're also the deal people. So
yeah, they are the deal
because
people.
Because honestly, my wife is a maven.
Okay.
And we even had the conversation when you were remodeling your house and you were looking at flooring. My wife spent 6 months researching the exact kind of flooring that she wanted. Researched all over the world to find the best price and delivery and shipping and warranty. And that would be the person to talk to.
Yeah.
You know, she would dump all this information on you if you said the word laminate flooring.
Yeah.
it would just spill out of her and you would have exactly the information that you needed to make a good decision. And that's also somebody that should have a high R value. Once again, provided you do a good job.
Yeah, and so the mavens are the information brokers of the world. They know information. They like to share and trade this information. So that's another thing. And these are things to look for when you're talking to somebody. It's not a bad idea to have these things written down
right
on your sales sheet. And if you feel that they're one or more than one,
yes,
these things,
which is a big deal,
to circle it because you want to give them a higher R value. So it's not even a bad idea on your sales sheet to put like CMS. You
right
know, are they a connector, a maven, or a salesperson? If they are, circle one of them and know that you're going to put a higher value to this customer.
And it seems like we're plugging other podcasts every 3 minutes or so, but we also did one on wasting your money on marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's losing customer follow-up because you're not using any kind of a contact management software. And so if you are using a CRM, like we recommend that you do to keep track of your customers, that's a great thing to put in the notes. So
yeah,
that's where you would keep track of, are they a salesman, are they a maven, or are they a connector?
And all of this is not a waste of time. It's important.
Right. Yes.
It's really important because you want to know when you're looking at your customers and you're always trying to assign a lifetime value for this customer, then it's going to determine a lot of things in how you handle this sale, on
right
what you're willing to do or not do to get it, what price breaks might you be willing to give, what hoops might you be willing to jump through, how hard are you going to work to get this sale?
Yeah, and it also, once you have a little bit of this data, you'll be able to figure out, is it worth advertising to find another customer like this?
Yeah.
Let's say you work out that, trying to think of a different example. Let's say you work out that the American Cancer Society chapters in your city is a fantastic place because the R value is very high, because
mm-hmm
everybody that does the cancer walks ends up buying something else from you. The initial value is pretty good. The frequency, they have walks twice a year. The longevity, they last for 5 years each. Now you have a great number of $5,000 or $6,000 that's a lifetime value for the customer. You have motivation and you know your numbers enough to call the Cancer Society chapter in the next county over.
Yeah.
And say, wow, look at how much this customer is worth. Let me pick up the phone and call this one and say, hey, you know what? I love doing this work for the Hillsborough County chapter. You guys are right next door. Let me talk about doing the same thing for you.
Yeah, and so it helps you define some of your customer base, who you want to go after, who you
yes
might want to avoid. Also, how much work you're willing to put into the sale of
yes
these as well, because the band from Austria, if, hey, here's the price, it's a fair price, if
yeah
you want to buy it, good, I'll follow up with you tomorrow. You follow up with them, the guy ignores through your phone calls, okay, well,
you're done.
I'm kind of done with
yeah
this one. However, you keep calling that Cancer Society, the person who orders the shirts, you might follow up with them three times as many times. So you might only follow up with the other guy twice. The other, the cancer society person, you might follow up with them 10 times.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, I mean, it could be for the rest of your life. You're always following up on these people because the value is so high.
Yeah.
And you know that if you connect, it will have been worth those 12 or 14 phone calls.
Well, now, so I have a question now. So if I'm brand new to the business.
Yes.
How?
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Where did you buy your printer?
I can't tell you.
Okay.
Now, How do I start figuring this stuff out when I've got no history to base it off of?
You know, that's a great question. It's a little tough because you don't have the history, but you can certainly figure out the initial value, because that's going to be the sales numbers. And if you are part of the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group, we get that question posted and some great answers all the time on how do you quote this job?
Yeah.
How do I quote that job? They'll give you some reasonable ways to do that. So the initial value you'll be able to figure out. You can do your profit estimates just by estimating your cost. Say, I think, you know, it's going to be this much in supplies. I work out of my house, so this percentage of the rent. I want to make this much an hour, so here's my labor cost. So you can figure that out. And as far as frequency, there's one big question you should be asking every customer, and that is... How long were you worth your last vendor?
Oh, okay, yeah.
How long were you with your last vendor? So if someone calls you up and they have an emergency order for 27 shirts and 27 embroidered caps, great, I'm excited to quote this. Let me ask you something. Did something happen with a previous vendor? How long were you with them? So yes, they really dropped the ball. I only ordered from them once.
Mm-hmm.
That's a low percentage deal because they only ordered from them once. You know what? We had the same vendor for like 3-4 years, and they just retired.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a great estimate. So now you have a better frequency calculation.
Yeah, and if you have like a serial shopper that they never have seemed to order from the same person more than once, again, you can all your frequency you can know is probably going to be low. Your lifetime value is going to be low, and your R factor is going to be low.
Right.
So you want to think about all these things when you're trying to get these customers. But that's a perfect example. We had a great woman. She was fantastic. She retired and moved to Alaska. So now I need somebody new. I probably bought shirts from her 40 times.
That's the ideal. And that's the ideal candidate.
You write down that number. You know, you write down lifetime 40.
Yes.
You know, and this order, $500. Then you start doing the math. You know, $500.
I think that's $20,000.
40 is $20,000. And this woman that you're talking to seems to be a bit of a maven.
Yeah.
You know, so now you say, well, because she knows a lot of people and a lot of information.
And you could even ask, do you know anybody else that used to be your customer that I could help with?
So then I'm going to say $20,000. You know, if I say that $20,000, and I've given this person an R factor of, let's just say 0.3,
yeah,
a little higher than the middle. That's another $6,000. We've given this one sale could potentially make you $26,000 for your business. You could buy a couple of embroidery machines to add to your business if you get this one sale.
Yeah, and that's a great way to look at it because this is what's going to happen. And I do recommend that you look back at your decisions as you grow your business. So you're new, you make these estimates up front, maybe at the end of 6 months or a year, you take a look back. Okay, I assigned an R factor of these guys of 0.5 and they haven't sent me anyone. Then maybe you want to reduce that and change your lifetime value of the customer, or you want to flip it around and figure out what you're not doing to encourage them to send a referral.
Yeah, and all of this information is important to write down so you could look at it.
Yep.
In the past. And also, the other thing is if you want to find out where your customers are coming from and track that as well. And we talked about another podcast plug, but we talked about using CRM.
Yes.
And using a customer relationship software and managing customer information. And if you have a field in there where you put the source, where they came from, how did they find you?
Yes.
Did they look you up on Google?
And by the way, that's the question you ask them on the phone when they call. Hey, how did you find us?
How did you hear about us?
Bob told me, or...
Well, yeah, and then, so you go down, and if you find that Bob has referred 4 people to you...
I love Bob.
Yeah, then you go back and you look at his information. I gave Bob a 0.2 R factor. I'm going to change him to a 0.4.
right.
or 0.5, because he's already referred three people. In fact, now let me look at my math. I gave Bob a lifetime value of $3,000, and I gave him a referral value of, say, $600.
Right.
In the beginning, well, I'm looking at how much he's referred me. He's referred me $1,200 worth of information. I need to double my R factor.
Yeah.
I really need to take care of Bob.
Yeah, absolutely. So, buy Bob lunch. Send him a t-shirt.
When Bob calls you up, and now this is something, a little tricky thing.
Yeah.
Okay? Bob calls you up now. And this is why this information is really important, I think, and one reason why. Bob calls you up and says, hey, participating in a charity event.
Right.
I'm trying to get hats for everybody who's participating. And I'm trying to get maybe 75 hats. Would you be willing to donate, or t-shirts, or whatever it
might
be? Now, would you be willing to donate these 75 t-shirts to my charity event?
Right.
When is it okay to give stuff away for free?
That's tough. I mean, for Bob, and that's a personal decision. Whether or not you want to do it for free or do a discount or do it at all. I mean, from a business perspective, there's a couple of ways to make that judgment.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is, if you know the guy's R factor and it's low, the answer is no.
Yeah.
If you know the guy's record and his R factor is low, but he will let you put the website on the back of the shirt. And it's to, you know, and the crowd is a potential customer for you. So in other words, if there's a charity event and you want to make shirts for the Austrian choir that Mark was talking about earlier,
they turned into a choir.
I don't know why. I just pictured the robes. You know, and they're doing a charity concert here, then, you know, probably it's not gonna be great.
Yeah.
You know, but if it's a salesman's convention, you know, if it's a Maven's convention, if it's a Connectors convention, and you can put you do a great job and you can put the website on the back of the shirt, then maybe that's a decision that you want to make.
Yeah, and that's so if you know, and that's important of knowing this information, because if it was me and if it was Bob and I look at his lifetime value and I look at his referral value and then I can actually track how much he's referred me,
yes.
And I do the math and I say, well, these 75 shirts, it's probably going to cost me, you know, this much labor and this much time and this much money. It's going to be, I'm going to be out, let's just say, $400 total when I add everything up. It's worth it to me for Bob.
He's a $26,000 customer. He's a
$26,000 customer.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that this might make that R factor go up again.
Yeah.
Because he's already proven that he can go from a 0.2 to a 0.4. I could probably get him to a 0.5.
And you know, I have to point out, just because Mark and I are both salespeople, don't be shy about asking. You know, if you do this job for Bob or for anybody, and you've looked at the math, not your heartstrings, to figure out whether or not it's a good idea, then if you've looked at the math, then don't be shy about saying, you know what, I'm happy to donate this, but here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to put my website on the back of the shirt somewhere. It doesn't have to be in an obvious place so that people will remember it. I'd also like to stand up for a minute and just introduce myself and my business, or I'd like to be able to distribute business cards, or I'd like to ask you personally to talk to the people there and make sure I get at least a couple of new customers out of it.
Yeah.
And all those things are perfectly reasonable requests, and you can judge by your relationship with your customer which one you think would work best.
Yeah, and don't just, if you get a phone call from a person you've never heard from before, never talked to before, and ask for some free shirts,
yes.
The question that you want to ask is, is this like a brand new business and brand new charity? Oh,
right.
No, it's the American Cancer Society. They've been around a long time.
Right.
Why don't they already have somebody
that's
going to do it for free? So don't take the promises, oh, if you do this, I'm going to do all this for you.
Yeah, you've got to have some kind of relationship. There has to be a reason for you to think that that's true.
Yeah, because when we do the calculation on that person, the initial value is zero.
Yes.
The frequency is zero.
Zero.
The lifetime is zero.
Zero.
And the R factor is, we have no idea.
Yes.
So potentially it's all zeros. It's worth nothing to you.
Right.
And that's where you said, well, maybe it's worth it to me in marketing because I get to put my name on the back of an event.
Yes.
Where it's going to be a bunch of business owners, because it's business owners supporting cancer research.
Yes.
You know, okay, worth it.
Right.
Worth it. That's marketing.
Right.
You know, so it, all these things are things to consider. But when we're doing this math and we go across the board and we're thinking about it for every customer and we've got a little formula, and even in the beginning, if you're guessing, you'll get better at it over time because, for one, you'll get practice, but also you can go back at your data and look.
Honestly, if the only thing that you got out of this whole podcast, you just heard blah, blah, blah in the middle when we were talking about the formulas, is that you think about the lifetime value of your customer in both revenues and profits and their likelihood of sending you referrals, then you'll have a better business next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because this is one of those things that we've said a lot of times before, but most businesses don't do this, don't think about it, don't write it down, don't even consider it.
Right.
What they consider is what's happening right now at this moment, and that's it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I don't want to deal with this job, or he told me he was going to call me and he didn't, so I guess he doesn't want me to do the work for him.
Right.
You know, well, are you talking to somebody who's really busy? You know, I mean, like, what's the value of this customer? What's it worth it for maybe for you to take?
Yeah, you're not doing them a favor by printing shirts or by doing the embroidery for them. Yeah. Okay, just think about that.
So I think since most people aren't doing it, then if you do it, you're going to put yourself at an advantage versus all the other businesses out there, all your competition. You're going to put yourself at an advantage because you're going to be spending time on the customers that are going to make you more money over time. You're going to be spending an effort in thinking about doing all of these things, and you're not going to be wasting your time and money on lost causes.
Yes.
On somebody that's not going to make you a lot of money over time.
So let's do this one last time, and then we'll let all these people go back to driving.
Okay, let's go.
Initial value of the customer in sales and profits.
So that's how much the actual sale is.
The one check that you're working on right now,
the check they're going to give you tomorrow.
The frequency of how often they're going to order.
So ask them. Talk about, do you do these events often? Is this something you do on a regular basis? How often do you order a shirt? Just ask them a few questions and make an educated guess.
And the longevity of how long you think you're going to be able to keep that customer.
So how long have they maybe been with their past vendor?
Right.
Or how long have they been in business? Do they seem to be somebody who's really, really loyal, or they seem to be a shopper all the time?
And are you terrible at customer service?
And are you terrible?
I mean, you've got to keep that in mind because you're out there. I know you are. Now, all that equals kind of the total value of the customer, and then there's the R factor.
The R factor. So think about what is the likelihood of you getting a referral? Are they a one-time buyer from out of town? Are they a local organization that refers a lot? Are they a connector? Are they a maven? Are they a salesperson?
Yeah.
Whatever. Think of all of these things and put a value that you have to just make a guess on. You have to guess based on your conversation and evaluating all the things I just mentioned, and then give them a value somewhere between 0 and 0.5,
right,
and add that to the end of it.
And then keep enough information on hand that you can look back at the end of 6 months or a year and see how right you were and make changes from there.
Yeah, yeah. And then ask your customers where they came from so you can go back and check all this math back in the future.
Agreed. So this has been, I think, I don't think I say this every time, but I think this is my favorite episode so far.
Yeah, you say it every time.
I do. Okay, so this has been episode 17 of the Custom Apparel Startups podcast, Know Your Numbers, How Much is a Customer Worth?
And I'm Mark Vila. Thank you for listening, and definitely stay tuned for the additions to this because we're going to talk about how this relates to marketing, how this relates to future sales. Anything else, Mark?
Everything is going to relate to this.
So knowing the value of your customer is extremely important. Thank you for listening.
Yep. This is Mark Stevenson signing off. Have a good business.